Hello and welcome to the Vet Blast podcast. I am your host, Dr. Adam Christman, Chief Veterinary Officer here at Fetch DVM 360.
Hey everyone, welcome back to the Vet Blast podcast and happy Pride, everyone. Oh my goodness, we're so happy to be celebrating all the wonderful things that we do in and out of the profession, especially to our fellow LGBTQIA members in the country and around the world. And we're going to be chatting about identity, and we're actually going to have real conversation. And a little spoiler alert, I haven't mentioned any of this on the podcast, what we're about to talk about on this. So we're going to really open up. And we have a wonderful colleague that's in the house, too, to join us and talk to us more about the LGBT community, Dr. Tripp Oliphant in the house. How are you, my friend?
I'm doing great. Thank you so much for having me. I'm super excited.
Good to see you, too. Wait, hold on. Capone has to make a quick appearance. He has to say hi. It's Happy Pride Month. So yes. Good to see you. Okay, so let's learn a little bit more about our friend here, Dr. Tripp here. Dr. Oliphant is primarily an emergency veterinarian based in Charlotte, North Carolina, with a passion for high-quality emergency and critical care medicine and team development. He's a graduate of Virginia Maryland College of Veterinary Medicine. Go, what's the?
Hokies.
There it is.
Go
He's
Hokies.
Built a career working emergency and specialty hospitals known for blending clinical excellence with authenticity and compassion. I love that. Dr. Oliphant is also deeply engaged in conversations surrounding the evolving veterinary profession, from burnout and leadership to hospital culture, accessibility of care, and emotional realities faced by veterinary teams. Beyond medicine, he has a strong interest in team development, mentorship, and the future of vet med, including plans to help build innovative veterinary hospitals that prioritize both patient care and sustainable workplace culture. Outside of the hospital, Dr. Oliphant is deeply passionate about team development, retention of individuals within the veterinary profession, and fostering collaborative environments where veterinary teams can thrive both personally and professionally. He's an advocate for building sustainable workplace cultures that support growth, mentorship, communication, and high-quality patient care. And his perspectives brings together science, empathy, leadership, and real-world experience in a way that resonates with both veterinary professionals and pet owners alike. Great job, my friend. Thank you for all the great work that you're doing.
Thank you. Oh, thank you. Yeah. Makes it sound good when you have it written down.
No, but it is. And I like how you talk about it. It is vet med is a crossroads of science and clinical empathy and intuition. And what you just mentioned is exactly what our profession is, right?
Oh, 100%. Yes. No, I couldn't. Yeah.
All right. So, you know, we're going to talk about growing up and identity. I'm going to share something with the audience as well about this myself, as if you may or may not care. I don't know, but I just feel like disclosing it during Pride Month. But what was your understanding of being LGBTQ growing up?
Yeah. So growing up, I grew up in the South, so near Charlotte, kind of in the more rural aspect of North Carolina. So I'll be quite frank, there was not a lot of representation for the LGBTQI community. I mean, you know, you heard about it, you heard of people that were, and you knew of people that were gay, but it was kind of like the, you know, the hush hush. And then, but I think growing up for me, like everyone that grew up with me, honey, the closet was glass. So people knew that was where I was heading, but I didn't know. Right. And so I think that, you know, when you're younger, that you're just not, you know, the same as some of your other friends and things like that. But, I think that for me, you know, I didn't have, like I said, I didn't have a lot of representation, which matters a lot to me now in my life is making sure that there's representation for this younger generation.
Yeah. I thank you for sharing that, because I agree. This is why we have podcasts like this, to show, you know, representation and where you're located. And we've all had different experiences growing up. And those of you that are not part of the community, we have a lot of real conversations like on social media and these spaces to share like what it's been like growing up, because it's not easy, right? Was it easy for you?
No, it's not, because you don't have someone to really, you know, compare, you know, or be like, oh yes, I was just like this person, you know, or I want to model myself after this person, because sometimes you feel like the people that, okay, let's say you see a movie star that you know is gay and you really like them. Well, you're afraid to tell people that's who I'm, you know, have a, you know, maybe a crush on, but also, who you have as a role model. And so it's hard to say that to your friends and family because they're like, well, wait a second, like, is that who you are? And I think for the longest time as a kid or as a young person, growing up is really challenging to finally admit that to yourself.
Yeah. Did you find it that you had to compartmentalize certain aspects of who Trip was? Like, okay, this is like the I want to be a veterinarian Trip, my activities of what I love to do for my mental health or whatever Trip, and then like who I love and who I'm interested in Trip. Like, what did that look like for you?
Yeah, no, absolutely. So I will say my grandfather, who's now passed, but he was a big part of my childhood because he loved animals and gardening and things. And so I kind of used that as a way to kind of have my outside, like that one compartment of like, I really found joy in that. And I could find peace that, okay, well, my grandfather, who obviously was not in the LGBTQ community, well, I guess not obviously, but he was not, but he loved animals and gardening. And so in some way, I could say, oh, this is normal for me, right? But then the older I got, the more I realized that, that's not, but I think a lot of us in the community, especially in veterinary medicine, we pride ourselves on achievement and pushing ourselves to be, the best and the greatest. And so I definitely with vet med dove head first in and trying to, I knew that was what my goal was and I wanted to do that. That was my passion, my dream, and still is. And so I think that I definitely compartmentalized that. I just didn't think that, my sexuality kind of played a role in that, which now looking back, it does, but
You know what? It does. And because when I talk to other, fellow members of our community in vet med, we have such high pressure on ourselves, mind you. We put high pressure to be such high achievers. I remember my parents would say, this is before I came out to them, they would say, why are you putting such pressure on yourself, Adam? Like, it's okay to go out with your friends. Stop studying 7 days a week. And I felt like for me, it was the only way I could be the Adam without being found out that I was interested, right? And so if I was successful, if I got that 100 on that exam, if I got that A on the report card, then everything was fine. Everything's going to be okay. What was that like for you? Is that
100%.
similar?
Oh, 100%. I still to this day struggle with, I mean, I guess we call it perfectionism, but we all want to be this achievement mind. We all and having goals is super important, and I don't downplay that. But there's something to be said for, pushing that part, that true self aside and making it be, kind of your identity for a while of I'm this, I'm the person that has to make the great good grades. That's what I'm proud of. Not because quite honestly, you're not proud of yourself at that point in your life, so there you have to find a way to be proud of yourself. And that was where I put my, I guess, my mindset and
Yeah.
which is sad, but it's true.
It is. It is sad. And we always have like that one coming out story. But to those that may not know this too, another thing we're going to share with you is that we have to come out a lot throughout the rest of our lives. It's
100%.
always sort of a obstacle potentially or vulnerability. Myself as a public speaker, it's part of who I am. I mean, my husband Chris and the Weens, that's like it's my DNA of who I am. And there was an instance Trip, I'm going to share with this to the audience, that I gave a lecture, and as soon as I showed the slide of my family, there was a gentleman that got up and walked out.
Wow.
And he was a veterinarian too. I know exactly who he was too. Like, and it caught my attention. I didn't even talk to him afterwards because it was that obvious. It wasn't like I have to take a phone call. I got an email. It was like, I'm offended, And I listen, we're not for everyone, right? We're not, we know that. So what was your coming out story like?
So my coming out story was really, some people are like, oh, I planned it. I didn't plan it. It was, I came out to some friends in undergrad, prior to my family. And then, well, I went home on a weekend. I planned to tell my family and, it's such a hard thing to do. And I still to this day, respect everyone because we do have to come out so often, but the biggest time is the first time to your family and your close loved ones. And it didn't go as planned necessarily. I had my phone and like obviously I was talking to a guy and his name popped up and my mom saw it on my phone and she's like, oh, that's interesting. But it was, and then it opened the conversation and it honestly went beautifully. Like it, I cannot be, it does not always go that way for so many people. And so I'm very fortunate in that aspect to have a family that is accepting. But there are so many like my husband who don't just, we don't have that. And so I completely understand that. And it makes it so challenging to be your authentic true self when you don't have family support or your close people. But that's where, I always say we can have chosen families now,
Yes.
thankfully, and having those people and colleagues that truly support you. But yes, I agree with you. We have to come out, I would venture to say daily, if not, daily. And especially in the veterinary field, every time we walk into a room, people know,
Right.
I mean, it's not, it, I feel like I said, it's a little obvious that I'm part of that community, but.
Right. Yeah. So, story time for me is so I was working for a pharmaceutical company before I went to vet school, and I was seeing this guy. I wasn't out to my parents yet, but a close network of friends, very small, wasn't ready yet, and I wasn't ready even before vet school to tell them, but it was the summer before I go. And anyway, evidently he got me a card to wish me well to vet school, and I could not for the life of me find this card. I'm like, where's this? I'm packing, getting everything ready. And I'm like, I know they have it. My parents, I know it's somewhere, right? Well, evidently it fell on the driveway, and I, unbeknownst to me. So we're driving. Now I live in Jersey, and we drive to vet school in Iowa. So that's a drive. So I think, and now we look back retrospectively, and my parents told me, like, we planned this so we can have like a really good chat in the car with you, which I was like, that's actually a really good idea, like, right? So she's like, we
Absolutely.
found this car. And it wasn't, I did not feel like I was being attacked by any means. It just, but I, you know what that feels like, right? Like
Oh my gosh, yes. You're
your
like
whole
you
world.
picked over. Yes.
Right, I'm going to vet school. Like, I'm going to another state that I don't. I'm worried again. I have to like, I'm not ready to come out yet. But they asked me in the car, and it was like so. Again, to your point, I was so blessed to have such great parents that are my best friends and such my advocates. Where they're like, we wish we knew sooner because now we're sending you off to school. We want to make sure you're okay and everything. So the check-ins were a little excessive initially. Yes.
You're like, it's okay, I'm fine.
I'm fine. But no, it's but and exactly right. Like you always have to have some sort of a coming out story, or coming out like consistently as we're doing our thing, because people will judge you. Open up that exam room door, and they may feel, this has happened to me too, where you're like, oh, a fellow brother of the gay community, right?
Absolutely. Yes. Yeah. And I think that that happens a lot. I mean, but I'll share that just recently, about 2 months ago, I had a colleague, tell me that they saw a patient that I saw through emergency and they were very upset with their with the patient and what was going on. And all they could tell her was that the gay doctor, saw my dog. And she had gotten the record, so she knew it was me. But, it's also, once again, it goes back to the identity. And it's like, if that's all you saw, you didn't see the medicine that I was providing to your pet. And that's something that's on you, because I am so much more and you're so much more than our sexuality, That's just who we are. And we're genuinely our authentic self. And so like you said, I have to come out every time, but it's very rare, especially, here where I live, that I don't feel accepted, but there are the times that happens, and it happened my whole life.
Absolutely. Okay, I want to talk about something that we never talked about on the podcast before. And I saw this, the reason why I'm going to bring this up, because this is a very hot topic on social media. For the better, it was actually good. There was this woman that was just talking in general. She was sitting in her car and she's like, why are the gays so funny? She's like, gay, lesbian, trans, like they're just absolute hilarious. And then it cut to this one gay guy and he just put up this one word and it said trauma. And I couldn't have felt more seen in that video too, because I'm, if you don't know, I'm pretty friggin' funny.
Right.
And, I mean, I had very, very funny parents growing up. We've always lived through humor, but I do feel like it was a coping mechanism for me. What are your thoughts on that?
Oh yeah, I agree. So everyone is like, "Oh, you're funny," and I love to laugh, right? It's such a, I mean, I don't know a day that goes by that I don't laugh. But which is such a good thing. But like you said, I think it is in our community that it is from trauma. It's our way of deflecting and kind of putting ourselves down before other people can and saying, "Oh yeah, I'm this way." But we've learned to do that because we've learned to entertain and we're out there and we're fun. And that's what's so beautiful about our community. But there's something to be said for, why do we do that? And I think it's a way of self-protection, and it has been and will always be that way. So yeah, no, I agree with you. I think that it is, and that person that made the TikTok, 100%. It's because of the trauma and the things that we go through. I mean, the trauma, and it's not even, I don't want to say trauma like everyone goes through situations and experiences growing up. I grew up in a very, both my parents are married. Everyone's like, "Oh, you didn't grow up in a traumatic household." No, I didn't. But, I still go through trauma every day when I go to the grocery store and I'm holding my husband's hand and you get the looks, right? That's some form of trauma, right? And so we're having to defend ourselves. And so in that way, you have to kind of make a joke about it, or you kind of laugh or cry, really.
Trip, you bring up, I know we're going off the rails here, but I don't care. I like where we're going with this. I'm going to share something too. I love that you're able to hold your husband's hand in the grocery store aisle. I'll never forget me and Chris. Just one time we held each other's hand, and we've been together, what, 23 years now? I can only count on one hand, literally, that we held each other's hand because we were in Disney World doing it, which is pretty inclusive. But there was this family that said, "Oh, how gay," and that just hits, it
It
really does.
does.
And so whenever you try to go to that moment where you try to hold, and it's not just me or you, there are so many of our fellow members that cannot do the very basic things that many of you out there can absolutely do: hug and hold each other's hand and show empathy by touching the elbow, whatever that might be. Oh, you're right.
Well, I mean, yeah. I mean, last summer we went to a concert here in Charlotte, and my mom was trying to take a cute picture of us, me and my husband, and she was like, "Okay, now you guys look each other and kiss. I'm gonna take a picture." And the couple behind us said, "Oh God, please don't do that." And it was just, yeah, and to the point where it got to be where we couldn't enjoy the concert, because we're like, this whole time these people are looking down on us and thinking these horrible things. But it, like you said, it happens as trauma, and it's something that we'll never forget. And like, really, it really was, especially for, my husband, who's been through a lot more too.
Yeah. And cut to why we're having and why we have Pride Month. I want to get your take on this. What does Pride mean now versus what you thought it meant even years ago?
So when I first came out, I thought that Pride Month, which it is, it's a celebration. And it's like, okay, well, how are people, proud to be, looked down upon by society, really? But it's looking at the history of how far we've come and the people that have paved the way for us. But also, I would never, if you had asked me 20 years ago, or even right when I came out, would I have chosen to be gay? I might would have told you no. But oh my gosh, I would choose it over and over again. Truly, I'm proud of our community. I'm proud of how, successful and we are, and how we use our trauma to be honestly empathetic to so many people outside of our community. It teaches us to be emotionally intelligent. It teaches us to have, honestly, we're a lot of us are leaders and are in leadership positions because we have, fought so hard to be achievement minded, which good or bad. So I'm proud of that, and I'm proud to be a part of a community that truly does work toward our achievements, work toward helping each other and lifting each other up, even though sometimes it can feel like we're alone or isolated. It's so important to have this month and of Pride Month to really feel not feel alone, especially for people who may not be comfortable coming out yet.
Right. Yeah, some aren't. And that's okay as well. I love when some people are like, "Oh, we're just waiting for her to come out. We're just waiting for him to come out." It's like Well, they come out on their own accord, you know. You just support them, and if you're a true friend, you support them through it all, you know. I mean, I said we have a friend that, you know, maybe he is, maybe he isn't, but we always said, like, we're here for if you ever want to chat, you know, because I never want to force anybody into saying something that's not uncomfortable for them, you know.
No, and
So,
it's—I mean, it's their story to tell. I mean,
yes.
I would love to be a part of a world where we have no coming out, where a little boy can go to school and come home and tell their mom or dad, "Hey, I have a crush on, another boy in their class," or a little girl goes home and says, "Hey, I have a crush on another little girl," and no one thinks twice or blinks, right? I
Yeah.
don't know that, this day and time, I don't know that we're quite there, but maybe one day. But for right now, we still do have these moments where people have to feel supported to come out and be their true authentic selves. And I think that if you're not that, if you know they don't have a family member and you're a friend of someone who you think, I think that being there, being that person is so important, especially for this community.
Yeah, it really is. And you were just talking before about, psychological safety and intuition. I think that is a gift that we have. If there's one thing that we've been blessed with, I would say, in this community, is that we are really emotionally connected to our clients and to our patients. It could be a blessing and a curse. I found it to be both. I mentioned this on a previous podcast because it weighs heavily with us. Those that have that emotional intuition, when you think about something's going on, and you take that home with you. You know, sometimes you can turn it off a little bit, but it's a little bit of a challenge in veterinary medicine where you just have to, those of you that are in our community, we have to make sure we protect ourselves psychologically and emotionally, because it can be exhausting.
Oh, absolutely, especially in emergency medicine, which is where
Yes.
my heart is. I love emergency medicine. I love practicing it. But it's emotionally taxing, and there are some days where, I am such I'm a em empath, so I put so much energy and I want every patient to do well or to make the right decision for that patient, and it weighs on you. And you go home and you recount the conversations, you recount, the patients, what could I've done more? Is there something I could have done differently? And it does take a toll on you psychologically. And I think
Yeah.
that having the psychological safety in the workplace is really important too, so that you can be open to having every single day seeing that can really be down on us. And I think that's why our community, sometimes the vet med community and also human medicine community, really has a lot of mental health, issues on top of compounding that with being gay. There's all types of
Yeah.
things that go involved in that.
Yeah, absolutely. All right, so as we're wrapping up, I'm going to put you on the spot on this. TV shows, movies, what's your go-to? What are you watching? Books, recommendations? Like, what's your vibe? What do you recommend?
Yeah, so I love okay, so I love Bridgerton. I finished
Oh.
that. Really love that, obviously. What's some other things that I've watched recently? I just watched The Millionaire.
Secret Millionaire?
Yeah, Secret Millionaire. That was so
Did you
good.
finish it?
I have like 30 minutes left of the finale, so don't tell
Okay, we're gonna chat offline about it. Oh my God, I
Yes.
never met somebody yet that I could chat with us about. Such a great
Yes.
show.
We love yes, love that. And but the best one, if you love competition shows, Traitors. I am
Oh,
obsessed with Traitors. So
yes.
if I think the next one is going to be non-celebrity, which I'm really excited for. But I'm
Okay.
really excited that Big Brother's coming out soon in
Oh
June.
yeah, that's right. It's coming out
Yep.
soon. It's gonna be good. Awesome. Well, Dr. Trip Oliphant, thank you so much for all the great work that you do. Thanks for being on the show. Happy Pride Month.
Yes, absolutely. Thank you. Thank you for having me, and happy Pride Month to you and everyone else that's listening.
Thank you.
Yeah,
It
keep
means a
up.
lot to me too, because as you all know, I'm part of the community and I wanted to use this platform, which I'm very, I got to give a big shout out to my team at DVM360 and Fetch Conferences, because we have really worked so hard to create such a diverse and inclusive space for learners. I was talking to you before we recorded this that it's definitely my platform. My number one platform was to make this space feel seen, validated, and heard in the community. And it's nice to get that validation when I travel around the country and they love the podcast. They love that they come to Fetch. And so, you know, maybe it moves the needle a little bit at least, but I feel like having a platform where you have this opportunity, I was like, well, I'm going to do something, in the words of Glinda, for good with it.
Yes. Yes. The Broadway and the Wicked. Oh, my
That's
favorite.
it. So good. All right, Doc, thanks so much for tuning in. Happy Pride Month. Thank you to our listeners for tuning in. Don't forget to rate the podcast. And if you know somebody of our community, say thank you. Thank you for being who you are. And thank you for being such a great ally to them. And we'll see you next time right here on the Vet Blast Podcast. Take care, everyone.
Thank you for listening to the Vet Blast Podcast with me, Dr. Adam Christman. Tune in next time. Remember, take care of your animals and always stay pawsome.